We're live. Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. It's 7:06 here in Town Hall. If everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for joining us. Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. McGraw. Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Waldron.
Present. We had a little later start this evening. We had a committee meeting run up against the council meeting before this. But we'll first start with approval of the minutes for September 7th. If there are no comments from council, minutes stand approved. Moving to public comment. First public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. John McGean will be our first speaker. Can you step up, sir? Please give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, council, and I don't see the mayor, but his administration. Thank you for letting me talk to you tonight.
The mayor is with us on the computer this evening.
Pardon me.
The mayor is with us. Thank you.
My name is John McGean. My address is 375 13th Avenue in the Mount Airy section. I'm here to talk about the study that you will be talking about later, the activation of the Broad Street plan and what you're going to do or what you are not going to do. It's probably about 15 years ago that I talked to the city and the traffic department of the city of Bethlehem about heavy equipment, mainly buses, triaxles, and trailers coming down 13th Avenue. I was very lucky to change the 13th Avenue movement down to Broad Street and let those buses and trailers then turn left onto 3rd Avenue and over the Hill to Hill Bridge, which is the way they should go. Now our big problem is on 13th Avenue, which is the widest street, after I measured everything tonight, by 8 or 10 feet, going south towards the river. The dilemma is we have the Family Dollar Store on the corner of 13th and Broad. People turn into the dollar store, they come out of the dollar store. People on 13th are not sure, guy turning out, which way he's gone, or if he's going left or right, or turning in. Plus the people coming from east to west that are going to turn into the dollar store. They're putting their turn signal along. Are they going to turn on 13th or are they going to turn into the dollar store? To say the least, what we're looking at is we hope there's a possibility of doing a car count and getting a light there on 13th Avenue. What happens is people come out of 17th, 18th Avenue on top of Broad Street. They look at the light down on 8th. There's no stop until you get there. And then they can, if they time it right, they can make it through 8th, 7th, and then they could get to 3rd. That light is so important for us. Number one, we have a lot of children coming across Broad Street down into the playgrounds. Number two, the age of the people on 13th Avenue, of course, the priest helped the age going up, and myself, who will be 80 in not too long of a period of time. We can't cross those streets like we used to. So we're hoping that you would, the council and the city would think about putting some crosswalks in, but for sure what we need is a light. The possibility of putting lights anywhere else, I went to the summer composite where we met on Broad Street and talked about what the city may or may not do. There was a possibility of putting a light on 12th. But if you make a right on 12th, you go up the street, you're at a dead end. There's no sense in it. Absolutely no sense. If you make a right on 8th Avenue, when you get down two blocks, it gets down to 17 feet. You can't even get two cars through after you cross Prospect. What happens is most people come down Union Boulevard or down Broad Street. They make a right on 13th. They make a left on Lehigh. They don't have a stop sign until after the tracks and cross the New Street Bridge. That has been that way for a long, long time. I understand that. But what we need is some safety up here to be able to control that traffic. There's no street, and you will do a, I hope you do a car count. There is no street that has more traffic going north to south completely, including 8th Avenue. You get some traffic going 8th Avenue north, but you don't get it going south because people can't make it through there. On the bottom of 8th, you can't get two cars there. It's only 16 feet when you have the, because of the parking, versus 13th, which is 42 feet. So two buses, two tractor trailers, two of everything, three of everything fit. And that is the dilemma, and I would like you to look at that. So I think the, I think it's on page 47 of this traffic plan, which I think Mike will probably talk about later. The big concern is you cannot leave the dollar store with two turns in and out and not have something done there at 13th. It's impossible. But the trick is going to be to put a light there. You got to stop that speed coming out on the top of Broad Street going from west to east. I would say the traffic mile per hour speed there is probably 25 to 35, and the police know also those people are running 50 and 55 miles an hour down that street, depending on when they see the light on 8th. So I think, I hope you understand my dilemma. The other thing is, as far as trees and the whole plan, I'm very happy to see that the city is going to do this. Nobody in the city individually planted more trees on the street than I did. I planted 19 street trees on our city, didn't lose one, and it happens to be very nice. And on my property, I planted 150 trees right there on 13th Avenue. I think most of you people on the council know that. I planted them starting in 2006. That's why the name of the property now is called Tall Trees. I can't wait till the council starts giving me hell about that. In any case, if you need some help, I'm glad you're here to do it, but we need something on 13th Avenue and Broad. It is bad. It is very bad. And anybody who drives from Allentown or the west side of Bethlehem, the whole city will come here to the council meeting tonight. They're going to cut down. They're going to go down Lehigh Street and come in here just like I did. They're not going to go down Broad, hit three or four lights, make a right. No, it doesn't happen. I did the car counts and the truck counts 15 years ago. I know I'm dead right, and the average car count on 13th Avenue will be six times higher than any other street going south off Broad. That's all I have to say. Any questions?
Thank you for your comments.
Yep. You're welcome.
Is there anyone else here this evening who would like to make comment on a subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Rodriguez?
May I take this, lower my mask down?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll put it back on. Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I got a couple of comments, but some of them I will not mention because I spoke to the right individual here tonight. As a matter of fact, two individuals. And hopefully that these things will be handled properly throughout the city. I would say that I would have confidence in that they will. The last meeting I came after such a long period of time, I was speaking about speeding on Main Street. I would like to find out, hopefully with my talks that I've arranged somehow with the police chief that I can talk with her privately, what's happening on Main Street, but I will mention that these problems still exist. I don't expect it to be one day, a week, but it needs to be taken care of because the problem is big. Big enough that somebody's going to get hurt. I remember two separate incidents where people had died. A drunken individual came and knocked this individual straight up in midair on Union Boulevard in Maine. That was a friend of mine. And we lived on the same floor in Moravian House. The other one is drugs on Main Street. Drugs are heavy enough that something, the police need to really, really do something about this. I know it's hard to get the proof, but something's got to be done with reference to getting somebody in to make a buy. That's probably the only way. It happened to me, that's how I ended up back in the days, getting involved with these things. 35 years ago, I would say, for those that don't know me. But I'm drug free. That's why I'm able to speak about these things nowadays, because I'm drug free, 35 years. And I would like to talk about asbestos. Where I live, in Moravian House 2 in particular, and the other affected Moravian Houses 1, 2, and 3 do have asbestos. I hate to say it. I know I'm going to be visualized on YouTube and so on and so forth, but that's okay. I take my lumps. These buildings have asbestos. I spent 9 years in apartment 809 at the time. And because of that, I had developed a certain disease which affected my lungs. Luckily, a doctor prescribed a medicine with 10 pills, 10 days straight. And I'm now clean. My lungs are clean, but I now have emphysema because of that. Other people that don't know how asbestos can harm them and secondhand smoking don't realize that this is a problematic situation in our lives, in our health, and our safety regarding privately owned buildings from these individuals, particularly Moravian House Corporation or Development. I'm concerned because it happened to me. I'm concerned with what I'm seeing every single day. How people can stand and not say anything with reference to this. And yet, they do not care enough to deal with these problems regarding asbestos and secondhand smoking, because it's privately owned. They made the rules and they push the rules. I've tried so many times. I'm hurting, and yet nothing's being done. So with that said, I'm hoping that somehow somebody can come up with a solution, an inspector, because one was up, they had an older inspector in there. I just wish that you would allow me just a few more minutes, please, if possible. These comments are important, and I will change from one to the other. The inspector found nothing. The older inspector found nothing. But I felt that it was cited on Moravian House Development because it's the same person that came up. The other one is, I'll make it short, block watches. I've heard block watches are effective. Well, the day that I went to a block watch years ago, I was told off with a lot of FUCKs right in front of the whole group on the south side. I remember that specifically. And to this very day, I really don't think that. Maybe some do, some don't. But I really, in my heart, I don't think that they are going to work. It has to be the action of the police chief with the sergeants and the officers who will work with the block watches, but not to allow the block watches to dictate whatever happens in the community, because they're not out there. It's persons like myself that visualize all these things that are happening. And if we bring these things to the block watches, they're not being respected, they're being disrespected. Like if somebody's trying to crawl down their back. I didn't come to that block watch for that. And I come to one or two that affected me in the same pattern. Old trees. We have a pattern of old trees that need to be knocked down, whether it be residential property, 6 feet from the curb or otherwise. Giant holes in trees which should be taken down. Trees that are being knocked down by winds and torrential rains. This cannot go on because it's going to hurt somebody real bad. And I already felt the impact of that from someone else, also myself. I've seen it. I see it every day. And something should be done about it. Not just the city forester. Go out there and see. Check what's happening. And these abandoned vehicles, and like I mentioned the last meeting, please get them off the street. They're occupying spaces where they're not supposed to be, and they're a danger to our society. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to make comment on any subject not on tonight's agenda? Moving to second public comment for any resolution or ordinance listed on tonight's agenda. Would anyone like to make comment on any subject on tonight's agenda? Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I'd like to suggest that you postpone the vote on the Broad Street Transportation Plan for to the next meeting. I note on the conveying memo from the Director of the Planning Bureau that she's only asking that it be adopted or approved sometime in October, and you do have one more meeting in October. I suggest this because of the concerns raised by the gentleman behind me. And also, I think the plan leaves out one very important consideration, an expensive one. But I've been thinking about this from some time. As you know, I live in the further reaches of West Bethlehem, and I'm on Broad Street a lot. And on Broad Street in general, there are, I think, two main problems. One is the speed. It's got a 35 miles an hour speed limit. I generally go 35 miles, or sometimes 40. But if there's another car behind me, there's a car close behind me. And when I finally get to Highland Avenue to turn right when I'm going home, the car then just so almost blasts by me as if to say, finally, you're out of my way. The speeds are very high. And then you combine that with the width of Broad Street, which is very difficult for pedestrians. And I think the plan is missing one important solution, albeit an expensive one, as I said. I think what's needed is a median with mature trees all the way from 15th Avenue to the Broad Street Bridge. That way pedestrians could get across one direction at a time. Too many times, especially at night, I'm going home and at the last minute I see somebody dashing across the street wearing dark clothes, and I haven't hit anyone yet, fortunately. I almost got hit myself once because I misjudged the speed of an oncoming car. The pedestrian problem is, combined with the high speeds, is the most significant problem on West Broad Street. The plan, by the way, I looked at it for the first time tonight, the plan does address it partially, but not sufficiently. And I think at least, I would suggest even a public hearing. I think you could benefit from a public hearing on this. I understand there was some public input. I guess I'm not as well plugged into the West Bethlehem as I thought I was. And I did not go to the Planning Commission anymore because they approve everything. There's no point in going there. They're worse than the Zoning Hearing Board, and that's saying something. So I was not aware of it until Friday, but I managed to get the highlights of it before the meeting tonight. And I do think that there's this one just huge gap I'll convey to you a fantasy of mine. If I ever win the Powerball, I've been thinking of providing matching funds to the city for this median with mature trees all the way along West Broad Street. I think it's that important. So I think you owe it to yourselves to give yourselves a little time to look this plan over, maybe make some amendments to it, because otherwise things tend to be set in stone. And this, I think, is one of those instances where you should not go with the flow and give routine approval to what's ever presented to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda? Mr. McGeehan?
Yes. I would like to comment on the Broad Street Active Transportation Plan, which I talked about. I'm hoping that before any decision is made, there's a car count, and after that, you would make a decision. And the second thing is, if you are any time going to put trees on Broad Street, whether in the middle of the street or on either side of the street, make them at least 3.5-inch caliper. I repeat, 3.5-inch caliper. I think that would be very advantageous, and we would start off at a good growing period if you can do that kind of caliber of tree. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving to communications. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, with an attached draft of the Broad Street Active Transportation Plan and proposed resolution for consideration by City Council.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with Mayor Dersel for work related to the annual financial statement audit. The contract runs through the 2021, 22, and 23 audit cycles. For 2021, the cost is $83,630. For 2022, the cost is $85,300. And for 2023, it's $87,000. The maximum dollar value of all renewals is estimated in the aggregate to be $265,000.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, in connection with allocation of 2021 municipal pension state aid payments.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with KS&D Inc. for 2022, 23, and 24 website management or website maintenance and support. The term of the contract runs from 2022 through 24. The cost is $87,000 for a three-year term, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
Memorandum from Darlene Heller with the attached 2022-2026 capital program. By the way, she's Director of Planning and Zoning. At the September 23rd, 2021 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted to approve the plan.
This is for informational purposes only. There'll be a committee of the whole meeting to discuss this on October 19th, prior to the council meeting at 6 p.m. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement with Work to Live LLC, doing business as Run Lehigh Valley, for the Run the Valley Running Festival on October 23rd and 24th at the Daniel Rice Field and Main Street from Spring Street to West Lehigh Street.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Evans?
I have some administrative orders, Mr. President.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Mayor.
That's all right. Administrative order number 26, I hereby reappoint Richard Beggy, 3302 Broadway, Allentown, Bethlehem, PA, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through September 2024.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Could please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Clancy Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 27. I hereby reappoint Allison Gillespie, 3475 Monarch Road, Coopersburg, PA, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through September 2024.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you, Administrative Order 28. I hereby reappoint Barbara Pizarro, 526 10th Avenue, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission's appointments effective through September 2024.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you, Administrative Order 29. I hereby reappoint Salat White, 2351 Woodcrest Avenue, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission's appointments effective through October 2024.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Walder.
Discussion. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you, Administrative Order 30. I hereby reappoint Michelle Callahan, 817 Euclid Avenue, Bethlehem, to the appropriate Mental Health Services Appeals Board. This appointment is effective through October 2025.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
I just want to make sure that everybody understands I'm not related to her in any way, and I do support her. Thank you. Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 31. I hereby reappoint Kristen Wenrich, 10 East Church Street, Bethlehem, to the appropriate Mental Health Services Appeals Board. This appointment is effective through October 2025.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Darlene Heller, Planning Director, will give a presentation regarding the Broad Street project. Thank you.
Good evening and thank you. Ben Guthrie is going to join me also, our consultant for the project. And thank you for allowing us to present on this. We were fortunate enough to receive a WalkWorks grant to complete an active transportation plan for the Broad Street corridor. And the study analysis runs from the western end at Club Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue to the eastern end at Steffco Boulevard. We took a look at the entire corridor. And I just wanted to touch base on a couple of things that might have led up to this project and why we felt that it was an important one to complete. There's a couple of regional plans that call out the Broad Street corridor of having actually regional significance. One is Lanta's plan, calls out the Broad Street corridor as part of a bus rapid transit route and an enhanced bus route. And as they make improvements, they're really concentrating their transit priorities to these corridors. So Broad Street will be one of those. Also, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission completed a walk roll LV plan a couple of years ago. And Ben and TPD were actually part of the consulting team for that project as well. But that plan calls out the Broad Street corridor as a catalytic project for the region. It notes in the plan that taking a look at the Broad Street corridor addresses known safety issues. It facilitates access to transit and trails. It's significant locally and regionally for economic benefit. And it also serves disadvantaged communities. So they recommended in that plan that Broad Street corridor should be highlighted as well. And when we take a look at the Broad Street corridor locally, it's really seeing a lot of new life and attention. On the western end is the Mount Airy Neighborhood Association. They're a very active neighborhood group. They've done a lot of work at the Rose Garden and within their own neighborhood on the western end. CAT, the Coalition for Appropriate Transportation, has their headquarters on the very west end of Broad Street. We took a close look at downtown, obviously. There's a lot of interest from local business partners, and the Boyd is a large, very significant development project going to be occurring there in the next couple of years. And then even on East Broad Street, we have the Northside 2027 plan and that neighborhood group that has been more and more interested in both the Broad and Linden corridors within their neighborhood. The food co-op is going to be redeveloped there in the 200 block. And even down on the very eastern end of Broad Street, the Laro Silk Mill is seeing a lot of redevelopment with new apartment units on the upper floors. So along the entire corridor, there's a lot of activity. We were fortunate to get the grant. It's a tight timeline, so we had a compacted schedule. I feel really very good about the amount of public input that we've had along the entire corridor. Ben and myself sometimes were able to do some walks along the corridor with some different participants in the community. We had public meetings to be sensitive to COVID and things like that. We had meetings out on the patio at 60 West Broad that were very well received. So I'm going to let Ben go over the recommendations of the plan. But the grant itself is requiring that we have some formal support of the plan before we move forward. I can also talk to you, there's some funding sources that we can apply for alternative transportation, and we can talk about that at the end. And I'll let Ben go through the recommendations.
Thank you, Darlene. So I have in front of me a copy of the draft active transportation plan for Broad Street, and I'll try and refer to page numbers as I discuss our recommendations so that everybody can follow along. So I'm excited to be here on behalf of our project team tonight to walk you through a little bit of the process of how we got here, and more importantly, what the recommendations are of this plan. So as Darlene said, we were very pleased throughout the difficult summer of COVID how much public engagement we were able to get, both through our in-person meetings and online engagement. And that really helped shape this plan and shape the priorities of this plan. So I'd like to, because this corridor is a full 3 miles long, what we did to make it more manageable is we broke it into 6 different sections within this plan so that we can kind of outline what the recommendations are for each of these 6 sections. So I'd encourage you all to turn to page 45 of the plan. We'll see the first panel of recommendations. So for those of you who don't have a copy of the paper plan in front of you, we're looking at the westernmost section of Broad Street from the Allentown border at Club Avenue to Pennsylvania Avenue. This is a relatively narrow stretch of Broad Street compared to the rest of the corridor. And we really see opportunities for incremental improvements here to build upon an already walkable block. Currently, there's bus stops at intersections like Grandview Boulevard and Keystone Avenue, but no crosswalks and outdated curb ramps. So there's opportunities to make those incremental improvements of at the bus stops, adding curb ramps, adding crosswalks, and improving the street tree canopy across this whole block. As we transition towards Pennsylvania Avenue, the unusual skew of that intersection really encourages drivers to make that right turn from eastbound Broad Street onto Market Street at relatively high speeds. The crossing distance across that Market Street leg of the intersection is significantly longer than the other legs of the intersection. So what we recommend would be shortening that crossing distance to reduce the exposure of pedestrians crossing Market Street at that intersection. As we turn to page 47, in the upper left-hand corner, we see a little indication of an enhanced length of bus stop. As Darlene mentioned, we're very fortunate that this plan really aligns closely with Lantha's plan for the corridor, which includes 6 enhanced bus stops. This is the first of 6 you'll see highlighted on this plan. And while Lantha's still determining what a typical enhanced bus stop would look like, the type of amenities that are expected would be a modern bus shelter, countdown clocks with real-time arrival information, and other amenities that really signify that this is an enhanced bus route. So after a brief transition period, as Broad Street approaches 16th Avenue, it widens out to a full 58 feet wide, nearly 60 feet wide. As one of our previous commenters mentioned, it really creates kind of 2 different issues. One, the excessive width really encourages high-speed traffic, with some of the fastest, significantly faster traffic on this section of Broad Street than other sections. And two, the 58 feet is a long distance for anyone to cross. Somebody waiting on the corner to cross, pushing a stroller or trying to catch a bus, may barely be in the driver's peripheral vision, and you see really low yielding rates from drivers or people who are trying to cross. So what we'd like to recommend and what the plan recommends is from 16th Avenue east towards downtown, repurposing some of this excess street width and using that space for people who are walking and biking. At the bottom of page 47, you see a small sample graphic of what an intersection could look like along this corridor with curb bump outs and enhanced crosswalks. These changes alone would reduce the pedestrian crossing distance from 58 feet to 24 feet, really put pedestrians where they're much more visible to drivers and allow people to cross much more quickly and easily. Turning to page 49, I'd like to talk a little bit more as these improvements continue about how to accommodate bicycles on Broad Street. We know in Bethlehem we have a wide range of cyclists, ranging from people who are out for long distance, high speed rides, to families just trying to go for a ride downtown or to ride through the neighborhood. So what we envision using the excess space for on Broad Street is to accommodate a separated bike lane for those who would choose to use it. So in the upper left corner of page 49, you see an example picture of what that might look like. Some key characteristics you might notice is the bike lane is actually to the right of the parked cars. So the parked cars serve as a barrier between people biking and the fast-moving traffic. Some key characteristics is you really need a buffer between the bicycle traffic and pedestrian traffic, as well as a buffer between the parked cars and the bike lane, so that a surprise opening car door doesn't interfere with somebody using the bike lane and cause an unexpected conflict. So as you can imagine, the key to this bike lane design is really getting the design of the intersections correct. That's where the conflict areas are. There's no parked cars at the intersection to protect cyclists from traffic. And so there's a few key design principles that we keep in mind when we're designing an intersection for cyclists. You really want to maximize the visibility between a bicyclist and a car as both approach the intersection. What you don't want to create is a situation where there's a lack of visibility that creates an unnecessary conflict. The other key design principle is extending the curb out to ensure all turns happen at low speeds, so that in the unexpected chance there is a conflict, the driver has plenty of time to see the cyclist, react, and come to a stop. To avoid the collision or ensure that a possible collision happens at a low speed, not at a high speed. So with these elements together, a separated bike lane can really accommodate bicyclists of all ages and abilities and really create that link between the West Side neighborhoods and downtown. I do want to stress that while we have some conceptual graphics, such as the one at the bottom of the page, there really further design would be required to design a separated bike lane that really fits the characteristics of Broad Street. So I encourage you all to turn now to page 51 as we continue towards downtown. So this block, this page contains this section of Broad Street from 6th Avenue to Main Street, which is really a key neighborhood commercial district, especially between 4th Avenue and 6th Avenue there. There's a little cluster of restaurants and shops there. It really draws a lot of excess pedestrian activity. It's one of the busier pedestrian areas outside of downtown. And so improvements in this section are especially critical. I want to call your attention to the two signalized intersections at 3rd Avenue and 6th Avenue. One of the improvements we're recommending to complement this change in street design is what's called a leading pedestrian interval at the signalized intersections. What a leading pedestrian interval does is when at a typical traffic signal, the pedestrian gets a walk sign at the same time as a driver gets a green light. So this can create kind of a race between turning traffic and pedestrians and some uncertainty about who goes first. What a leading pedestrian interval does is gives pedestrians a short head start as little as 3 seconds before the cars start moving. That allows pedestrians to take a few steps out into the crosswalk, be most of the way across the street before any vehicles start to move. It really increases visibility and reduces conflicts for pedestrians. So as the separated bike lane were to approach downtown, we would recommend a transition area as you cross the bridge and approach the Brewworks building there to really encourage where the separated bike lane would end, to encourage any cyclists using the bike lane to slow down and safely merge into traffic or park their bike at that location and walk to their ultimate destination downtown. Turning to our fifth panel on page 53, this really highlights the downtown area. What we heard again and again from residents, from business owners, from people in the community, was people love the existing streetscape in the downtown area. It's already very walkable. Traffic moves at lower speeds. Crossing is significantly easier. People love the mature trees, the bump outs, and the high quality materials that really carry the look and feel of Main Street around the corner onto Broad Street. So we are not recommending major changes to this portion, but rather incremental changes to build on the success of what's already been done downtown. The Northside 2027 plan identified a gap in the existing tree-lined median strip between Getter Street and New Street. And although the street there is a little bit narrower than the surrounding blocks, we do think there's an opportunity, as recommended in that plan, to continue a tree-lined median and to connect the two existing tree-lined median strips and really continue that feel that people already love about downtown. Likewise, east of Center Street, going out towards Linden Street, there continues to be some businesses, restaurants, a lot of pedestrian traffic, but the street widens back out to 58 feet with no median, no bump outs, no pedestrian accommodations at all. What this plan recommends is extending that tree-lined median and the curb bump outs that have been so successful downtown for basically another block and a half up towards Penn Street, so that the current unsignalized intersections at High Street in particular, and the streets on either side, are easier and safer for pedestrians to cross in a way that benefits the surrounding businesses and neighborhoods. And finally, on page 55, we are at the easternmost section of the plan. This is the stretch from Linden Street east to Stefco Boulevard. So at Linden Street, you have a key transit, key connection between the Linden Street Business District and the East Broad Street Business District. And we see an opportunity there in the short term for bump outs, enhanced pedestrian, leading pedestrian interval, similar will be discussed at the other signalized intersections, and high visibility crosswalks. Those improvements are important because they'd be compatible with any future change to Linden Street to allow two-way traffic, which we know has been previously considered. So whether it stays one way or ultimately becomes two lane, we can improve pedestrian conditions there. East of Linden Street, there were really two key intersections that we heard about from neighbors and we observed ourselves when we were out walking the corridor, at Maple Street and Elm Street. Both these intersections lack traffic signals, lack any bump outs or median, so you're crossing the full 58 feet all in one shot. The reason these particular intersections are important is because they're key walking routes to Thomas Jefferson Elementary School and to the YMCA. And so we recommend that those that those intersections be made a high priority for targeted improvements with a landscaped median island that shares some of the same characteristics as the median but can be installed more quickly and in a targeted way right at that intersection to benefit people crossing there. So that's kind of a broad overview of the highest level recommendations. I encourage you all to flip through the plan, see if some of the more details in there. But I also want to talk a little bit more about what it would take to implement a plan like this. So if you turn to page 58 and 59 of the plan, it talks a little bit more about a phased implementation approach. And we think while some of these improvements are tried and true, and the community may be immediately comfortable with them and see after seeing their success elsewhere in the Broad Street corridor, we know some of the other elements, such as the separated bike lanes, may be new to some of the residents, some of the business owners, even some of city staff. So what we've seen other communities have success with is a demonstration project, where you got temporary materials like the sample photo on page 58, whether it be cones and paint and temporary signage, and whether it's for one weekend or for a two-week period, let the community experience, this is what it would look like on Broad Street with separated bike lanes. This is how it may impact parking on this block or a turn lane here, and really allow people to learn from that experience and fine-tune the design to make sure that the design of the bike lanes is the right fit for Broad Street. The other item I want to highlight in the implementation sections on page 58, talking about monitoring community concerns. Tonight's not the first time we heard neighborhood concerns, specifically about 13th Avenue and Market Street and the far west side of the plan, and about how any changes may impact cut-through traffic on those routes. So what we would recommend is kind of monitoring key intersections and doing, well, in conjunction with any implementation of future improvements on Broad Street, to kind of do before and after counts at some key intersections on 13th Avenue and on Market Street to make sure that there's no impact. And we do recommend some possible follow-up steps if there is determined to be an impact. But I do want to stress that these improvements are designed to reduce heavy speeding on Broad Street by narrowing the width, make it easier to cross, but it's not intended to stop traffic unnecessarily. We want to keep traffic on Broad Street moving. We don't want to encourage any cut through traffic on parallel routes. So we want traffic to flow safely and smoothly at appropriate speeds along the Broad Street corridor. So with all that being said, I welcome any questions you may have.
Well, thank you for your presentation and putting this packet together. It's rare that we get something that seems so fully formed and in its approach and comprehensive. I live on 2nd Avenue and spend a lot of time in these neighborhoods with my family, walking, riding bikes, as well as working in the neighborhood. So I'm intimately familiar with some of the challenges on Broad Street specifically. To see the divided bike lane is something that pops out to me as a tremendous option. The divided median also is very attractive as well. So I'm fully in support of a lot of these ideas, and I'm interested to see what the process would be moving forward as we continue these conversations. And then more importantly, timeline and funding is obviously the big question here. So I think this is a great starting point, and I'm excited to see what could happen on East and West Broad Street moving forward. I'll turn to members of council for any other comments or questions. Dr. Van Roy?
I'll just say I love it. So thank you very much. I liked all your ideas. Certainly we'd love to be able to put a tree line median everywhere, but I love the idea that people who live in Moravian House can get on a bus and go down to the food co-op and feel safe. I love the idea that we can enhance biking. I love the idea that it's going to create a more safe pedestrian environment. So thank you. Obviously there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm really encouraged by this. Thanks.
Thank you. The plan looks great, and I'm just excited for anything that's going to help improve the streetscape and especially make things safer for those that are driving, and especially the walkers and the bikers. I just had a couple of questions. So the plan was developed with the assistance of the grant through Pennsylvania Department of Health, University of Pittsburgh, and then I see on page 59, is this opportunities for grants that we can use to fund the actual project?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, some of these we do go, we already applied for, but some through Public Works Department specifically. We started to look ahead to what...
Darlene, can you speak into the mic, please?
I'm sorry.
We started to look ahead to see what our next options might be, and there is a round of grants for multimodal that's available. It's open through early November, and so we've started to talk about pulling out some of the elements here to consolidate them into a grant submission for November. So it really is a matter of phasing it in and looking at priorities, coordinating things. I think the safest thing right now is to start with the core downtown and East Broad Street, because there seems to be more consensus on what those elements should be, and that we need to take a closer look and do some of what Ben has suggested as demonstration projects on the West Broad side.
Okay.
But yes, these are some of the funding sources that we have routinely applied for in the past.
Okay. And so you said some of them you have applied for already, and then there's some you're going to continue to apply for?
Yes. Okay. And there are for other things. I mean, sometimes Public Works applies for new traffic lights and things like that with these grant sources too. So we look at the big picture of where we are with projects, but we're familiar with these grant sources.
Okay, great. My other question is going back to what Mr. McGeehan had talked about on 13th Avenue. So would there be an opportunity that we can look at that issue? You know, we have this plan now, but
he's bringing up an issue of concern as far as the traffic on 13th Avenue, that we can look at that, do a car count or whatever, either through Public Works or the planning.
And Ben didn't touch on that. It is something that we heard from a variety of residents and also from the Mount Airy Neighborhood Group. And we don't want there to be negative byproducts in other areas of the neighborhood. So that is something we can look at. And one of the suggestions on the table is to do some of the traffic camps before and then do some traffic counts after and see what the impacts might be. And we can even do that in conjunction with some of the demonstration projects. We know that it's a concern, and so we can take some steps, you know, prior to making permanent improvements to see, you know, how things measure out before and after.
Yeah, that would, I think that makes sense, because if there's something that's an area of concern rather than, you know, doing this whole plan and then neglecting that area, I think it'd be great if we can look at that to include it. So thank you. That'd be great. The only other question I have is, I think it's great with the bike lanes, because I was reading about that it is better to have the bike lanes between the cars, but it's going to narrow the street, but I'm sure it's going to be enough buffer room then between the cars and the bikes so that, you know, is there going to be like some kind of median between where the cars are parked and the bike lane?
So it can be done. A more expensive way to do it would be to build a concrete median between where the cars are and where the bikes are. We have seen successful examples. I think Lancaster, City of Lancaster and City of Philadelphia have both done projects with lower cost materials where they used to use paints and flexible delineator posts. So that ultimately, as the project will move forward into design, there'll be some trade-offs involved there. But the important thing is to make sure there is a buffer between the parked car and the bikes in some form or another.
Great, great. Thanks again for all your work. Appreciate it.
Reynolds.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. One is I want to thank Ms. Heller and everyone in the department. I think that getting this grant was obviously, anytime we can get these grant dollars, it's certainly a fantastic thing. I mean, if we're honest, about 80% of Broad Street can be improved. I mean, when you take a look at some of those streetscapes there, and a lot of these conversations we've had before with Northside 2027, as well as all the way back to the Elm Street program, we talked about the avenues, whenever that was. So it was really good to kind of take a step forward. I think the concepts in here are great. I think you had referenced the fact that, you know, some additional design is going to need to be done in the future. But we've started to make progress. And I know one of the things I've learned here is the more you talk about some of these issues over and over again, oftentimes they have a way of kind of organically picking up speed, no pun intended, as far as, you know, when these projects get done. And I know Linden Street is one that we've talked about for years, and, you know, we've seen it hopefully move ahead on some of our internal plans for when that's going to get done, partly because of community feedback and coming up over and over again. So, I mean, Broad Street really connects our neighborhoods on the west side to downtown and our neighborhoods on the north side right out of our historic corridor to downtown. So, as I said, I think there's a lot of great concepts in here, and I'm looking forward to kind of putting them together in the future and, you know, making some of these things happy. So I just want to thank you again. And I want to thank everyone that was a part of the coming out and being part of the walking studies and things like that. Thank you.
A couple other things that I wanted to maybe put on the radar is some of the key intersections, I think, on the west side on West Broad Street have some potential for improvement. As you enter, you know, that intersection at Broad Market and Pennsylvania Avenue, feels a little bit underdeveloped. That's a tricky intersection just because of the amount of span there. So I think special attention should be paid to that, especially on the pedestrian. Just the aesthetic side, what you could do to make it feel a little bit more welcoming. I know there's that parcel of land on the corner there that is currently owned by the city, but there was some talk about selling it recently. I forget where that stands. And then again at 8th Avenue, there's a couple, I mean, of the four corners there, I would say one of them looks nice. The other three look pretty rough in comparison. And then when you get into 3rd Avenue too, you know, maybe two of those properties look pretty good. And two of those definitely could use some improvement as well. I wasn't sure if you took a look at what Allentown did on the east side on Hanover Avenue. Because I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, or so, it seemed like an overnight project where they decreased the width of Hanover Avenue. And there was, I think, with little to no communication to the residents there, and they pushed back on that. Ultimately, it stayed where it was, and I think the effect was to try to calm down traffic because of the speeding on Hanover Avenue, which was comparable to, you know, West Broad Street. But that, comparatively, what you've shown us, look to what they have, seems a bit underdeveloped with some of those bump outs and the bike lanes and the medians. So I just wanted to make sure that if we are going to go through the effort to do this, there's a whole wide spectrum that can be done. More to the point, though, on the Eastside Allentown project, I'd be interested to know what their feedback might be, looking at the data on maybe speeding, traffic incidents, collisions, and if they had any input on the before and after effects of that. Because I would imagine that it was favorable to everyone involved, but that might be an extra data set that you could point to people who may not be as comfortable with some of these ideas to say, here's an example right in our immediate neighbor who did it, implemented it, maybe not to the scale that we're discussing it, but at least in a positive way. One thing also, just to point out, because we're kind of talking about the downtown there, is on Main Street. I don't know if you had any consideration to the angle in parking. There's been a lot of back and forth about the head-in versus rear parking on Main Street. People, for some reason, are more comfortable pulling in head first and then blindly just backing up, hoping nothing's behind them. It doesn't seem thoughtful or smart, and I think a consideration should be given to rear angle in parking on Main Street again, so that people aren't just hoping that no cars are coming up Main Street. I have seen some effects of the speed humps, and I think that's helping calm traffic a bit on Main Street, but I think that would be a consideration to help make that a safer, more walkable area as well. Any other comments from members of council? Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Any other reports or comments from the administration?
That's my report, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will announce that the Committee of the Whole met on Tuesday, September 28th, and we discussed the American Rescue Act plan funds. The meeting was for informational purposes only, and we took no votes. Moving to ordinances for final passage, Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 1120.05C of the codified ordinances relating to the fee schedule for emergency medical services. Bill 27-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 General Fund Budget. Bill 28-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 29-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill 30-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolutions? Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem hereby supports the Broad Street Active Transportation Plan and the future pursuit of grant funding to support the plan recommendations. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Mayor Ducell for annual financial statement audit services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the appropriate city officials are hereby authorized to allocate $3,967,352.71 of the 2021 General Municipal Pension System State Aid among the city's pension plans as stated in the body of the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement. I'm sorry. Check something here. Sorry. Authorized to execute a contract with KS&D Inc. for website maintenance and support services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $450,000 in the non-utility capital improvements fund budget be transferred as follows. Decrease the ice rink account by $90,000. Decrease the general pool improvement account by $10,000. Decrease the ground funds capital improvement plan account by $350,000 and transfer to Roger Street's facility replacement account. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-1. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute the use permit agreement with Work to Live LLC doing business as Run Lehigh Valley for the Run the Lehigh Valley Running Festival. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10. I'll accept the motion a second to consider resolutions 10G through 10K as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Callahan, second by Ms. Gramsci-Smith. And ask the clerk to call the roll on that motion.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Discussion? I would ask the clerk to please read resolution 10G through 10K.
Certificates of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinances are hereby granted for 510 East 4th Street to remove the existing porch and replace with new shingled porch roof and vinyl covered posts. 215 Broadway to demolish and construct a new building. 201 Broadway to replace existing signage. 321 Wyandotte Street to install a sign at the corner of Wyandotte and West 3rd Street. A certificate of appropriateness to install a new roof and flashings and replace paint and trim at 30 East 3rd Street, and also to construct a new addition that includes a four-story mixed-use masonry building at 32 East 3rd Street. The addition provides commercial retail restaurant space on the first floor with apartments on the upper levels.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Any new business for members of council this evening? Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Thank you. So I just want to say, first of all, on the plus side, I want to give a thank you and huge kudos to
Celtic Cultural Alliance for a great Celtic Fest. It was a great weekend in Bethlehem for the Irish and those that love all things Irish, so kudos to them. Secondly, I want to give kudos and thanks to the Downtown Business Association, especially Tammy Wendley and Kelly Smith for the Harvest Fest this past weekend. It was great to see Bethlehem so alive on a beautiful autumn day. On the negative side, I feel like I really need to express my concern and dismay that my proposed responsible contract ordinance, known as RCO, was pulled from the agenda for tonight's meeting. It's important to note that since my proposal of this RCO to administration approximately 1 year ago, I have met with various department directors several times and even compromised and added a waiver to this ordinance. It was on the agenda at the Public Safety Committee meeting in March of this year, and we graciously delayed a committee vote so administration and I could further meet to review it. It was then on the agenda for Public Works Committee meeting in August, at which time it was unanimously voted to be forwarded to Council for a full vote. It was on the agenda for this week's meeting, but City Administration requested it be pulled so they could propose further amendments. More concerning to me than this ordinance being pulled from the agenda is the fact that City Administration is operating in such a manner that when given 1 year to work with me on this pertinent legislation, they wait until 4 days before the vote to request further time to consider this ordinance. Additionally, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the City Council was the legislative branch of city government and as such was responsible for proposing and enacting legislation and as such could also dictate when legislation is placed on the agenda. I also may have been under a false premise that once a legislative proposal is unanimously voted out of committee to full council, it then goes on the agenda. I believe I have been more than patient in compromising this proposal. In spite of the fact that I was treated in a very rude and unprofessional manner by one department head who attacked me at the beginning of a meeting and stated, "Who do you think you are and how dare you propose this?" If I acted that way in my professional status on my day job, I would have been significantly reprimanded and or fired. It has been implied that my proposal to this ROC indicates that I'm not considering the best interests of our city. Yet all the empirical data regarding ROCs indicates quite the opposite, that an ROC is the best way to assure the taxpayer funds are being allocated to assure that all contracts for public work projects are awarded to reputable, responsible firms that have the qualification resources and adequately trained personnel to successfully perform contract work. Again, it's very concerning to me that this proposed legislation was pulled from the agenda tonight at the last minute after 2 years of my time and researching and drafting it and almost a full year of discussion with City Administration. Thank you.
Mr. Brown?
Yeah, I believe I should have been able to read the Finance Committee report before. The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, October 5th, 2021 at 5:30 p.m., actually 6 o'clock here in Town Hall. The committee discussed four agenda items, Department of Public Works, reorganization of the Bureau of Facilities and Electrical Maintenance, amending general fund adjustments, amending non-utility capital improvement fund adjustments, and amending community development block grant budget adjustments. Committee votes were taken on each of the four agenda items, and the committee voted to recommend placement of appropriate legislation on tonight's council agenda. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
I just want to make a comment about Councilwoman Cramsey Smith's comments. Someone from the administration, I don't know if it'd be Mr. Evans or the mayor, but why at such a late stage did the administration come up with this?
I've got a statement I can read too that will cover some of this topic, but we waited until we collected the feedback from the committee meeting themselves. We talked at the first meeting back in March that there were concerns that we were hoping to discuss. We did, and there was the extension of the summer. When they reconvened, it was clear there was still, a couple items that we could offer, but we believe that council may be bringing forward some amendments. We want to see that, and then after the conclusion of the committee meetings, we took the information we had from the residents and the public that spoke with the members of council, their comments, as well as questions, some of that were answered, some that were not. Some had some areas of this proposal had broad consensus, both administration and the council. other areas, we are hoping that we can deliver some amendments that can also be effective and possibly reach a middle ground. But to do that takes some time. So after the committee meeting ended, we did get to work on the amendments. And I think what I'd like to make a point of is that this administrative team for this particular topic involves 6 to 8 people. So to pull them together outside their day jobs, which is trying to effectively run their departments together for this, and we did do that, brought in the legal team, all the members of the Public Works, members of purchasing, and the administration and the mayor, to think about what we heard, what could work, what could we offer, and then get to the drawing board to deliver the amendments. Some of them are complex because if you start moving one part, and I know you all worked on amendments in the legislative process before, it impacts others. So are they in the works? Yes. We're not looking for a lot of time, but I think once we came out of that last committee meeting, we thought there was an opportunity to deliver some amendments that could be productive, that would have support. So that's where we're at. And we felt there was time available. We're not trying to derail anything. There's a sense that there's, you know, several months left until the end of the year, all of the rest of October, all of November, and all of December to work it out. And after this time, we would like the little additional time to make present amendments that are organized and that we can discuss and work through in an organized fashion versus trying to put something together with this short time frame turnaround that last committee time offered until the due date, which was last Thursday. So that's why we requested it.
Is a 2-week time frame sufficient?
It likely would be. Yeah, I don't speak for every member of the team, but we have some things we think are workable. We would like to present. We need to check with the format with your, again, the proposals, and when we propose legislation, comes to the clerk's office, and same for you. So what we prepare, we want to deliver to your clerk's office. So I think it's a two-sided conversation. If we deliver them, we're going to have to start talking. We can't just drop them on Thursday. They need to be in some sense. Will it require additional advertising? Is a question that came up with regard to some of the amendments. So we do have to have conversations with your solicitor as well as ours. That's going to be close, but that's not it. If it's not that, we're working as quickly as we can. We've canceled different, you know, trying to get 8 people together with the responsibilities they have. At the same time, we've gone out of our way to try and do that. We understand there's a time frame, and we're all anxious. Believe me, we from our end would also like to bring a conclusion, or whatever that conclusion is. You know, we have different ideas of what some parts of it may be, but at the end, we all want this to come to a vote and be able to move on and keep moving forward.
No, I appreciate that, and I also think that Councilman Clancy Smith should be applauded for agreeing to have this pulled for a small period of time, and to give you guys some time to work out any amendments that you'd like to propose. But I do think that I would hope within the next council meeting that you could get these amendments to us and we could act on them one way or the other. So thank you.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
If I could just comment to Council McCallum's comment, I did not agree to have this amendment pulled from the agenda. I agreed in March at the first committee meeting to hold off on the vote in March, which was several months ago, so that we could use that time to discuss it. And I did discuss it with department heads until August, when the next committee meeting was. So quite frankly, I'm confused why the administration still needs more time. I felt that we have from March to August to talk about it. I even put a waiver in to appease administration in the ordinance. So I did not agree to extra time. I really don't think the extra time is warranted, but that's my opinion. Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council this evening?
This meeting is adjourned.